At Mincha yesterday, Rabbi Lehrfeld gave the following to our Torah. He pointed out that when God gave Moshe the commandment to give the Torah to the Jewish people, he said, first give it to the base Yaakov, and then to the other people. I don't remember the word. And Rashi and the Mefarshim point out, Beis Yaakov is the women. And only afterwards did he mention the men. So Rabbi Lehrfeld said, all the men should realize that God gave the Torah technically to women first and men second, or some form thereof, because we know everybody got it at Har Sinai at the same time, but there was some preference given to women. And Rabbi Lehrfeld left it to everyone to figure out why this would happen, but he said it's important to notice. And especially today, someone came over, we were learning Mishnayos, which talked about a husband's property rights in his wife's inheritances, and the person said, well, doesn't the Torah treat women somewhat as second-hand citizens? And I didn't remember this from last night, but this would be some type of contra. And I said to him that one really needs to find a detailed essay on the relationship, or at least the economic relationship between men and women as prescribed by the Torah, and not pick at various things. Then the rabbi told the following story. The Baba Sali moved to Netivot, down south, which is near Gaza. And the rabbi pointed out that we learn in the Chumash that Gaza was the place that both Avram Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu did their prime living in Eretz Yisroel. And the Baba Sali was there, and he would obviously see people and try to help them. And one day, a lady came in crying incessantly, right? And the Baba Sali, being the tzaddik he was, wanted to hear what was happening. The woman only spoke Russian, and so the Baba Sali had an interpreter there, and the interpreter told him, the lady is saying she's 38 years old. Many of her contemporaries are already going to have grandchildren. Unfortunately, she's still single. And her greatest wish is to have a family, which will be a continuity in being Shomer Torah Mitzvah. I want a family that I can lead al derech Hashem. And she asked, is there an Eitzah? Is there something she could do? The Baba Sali said to the lady, here's what I want you to do. I want you to say four specific chapters in Tehillim for 30 days consecutively. And then Hashem will send you a Yeshua. The lady made it her business that the first thing she would do upon rising every morning for 30 days was to say these Tehillim. And Kachave, so was, on the 30th day she became a Kala. And she went back to the Baba Sali on that day, again, crying great tears, but these were tears of joy, and she was so thankful that the Baba Sali had been instrumental in opening the gates of heaven for her. And then the Meturgamon, the rabbi's interpreter, asked the lady, "Do you speak any Hebrew?" And she says, "No." She says, "I don't even know the alphabet." And he said to her, "Could you please explain to me how it is you could have possibly said these four chapters of Tehillim for 30 consecutive days?" And she said, "Here's what I did. I went to the Jewish bookstore from the Baba Sali's place, and I bought a Tehillim. And the first thing I did upon rising is I would hold a Tehillim next to my heart, and I would say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I would love to say these four Kepitlach Tehillim. They are in this Sefer. I am giving you what I would have given you had I been able to read the words. And I did this for 30 days. And the person asked the Baba Sali, "Well, she didn't comply with what you said. You know, how did this school appear?" And the Baba Sali said, "You're wrong." He said, "There's a pasuk we say often in Ashrei, Karev Hashem l'chol karev l'chol asher yikru'u be'emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to those who are close to him, who approach the Rabbeinu Shel Olam be'emes, with truth." He said, "Nobody could have had greater devotion, greater emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ability than her. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't need the words. That what she did was sufficient." And as the Rav said in his conclusion last night, when we say Karav Hashem Achol Karav Ashtar Yikru B'Emes, it's an attempt for David HaMelech to teach everyone that it requires real devotion, real honesty in being mispalel to the Rabbonei Shalom. We started talking about Yisro yesterday and how he came to the Jewish people, to Moshe, together with Zipporah and together with Moshe's children. And he was the only one outside of the Jewish camp who was moved to do anything. The Sefer the Medrash says, that tells the following. A person will suffer or can suffer for a number of different ailments at one time and may need various different means of treatment. There seems to be no general cure for what ails the person. And he says, this is true in the real world, in the world of medicine. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take all the spiritual ailments that a person may have and give one cure. And he says, the answer is listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word. Yirmiyam, who told his generation, listen to the word of Hashem, house of Yaakov. Even if your soul is plagued with many sins, listen and you will live. Every nation heard the thunderous crash of Yam Suf, and only Yisro responded. Yisro lived in a country, Midian. Midian was aligned with a Molech, and Midian was a foe, an enemy of Claudius Roel. He somehow would have initially joined the Molech as a leader in Midian, but it says when he heard about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had done, the Jews went out of Mitzrayim. He had been an advisor to Paro. The Jews had survived Yamsuf. The Jews had survived the battle with the Moloch that he stayed out of. This meant action immediately. Yisro wrote a letter. He said, "Dear Moshe, your father-in-law Yisro has arrived. Please come meet me. If you do not want to do this for my sake because you consider me unworthy, then at least please come out, meet your wife and your sons. Show that you're accepting them into the Jewish people." Yisro tied the letter to an arrow and he shot it towards the Anane HaKavod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's spiritual clouds that hovered over the Mishkan and Klal Yisroel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had designed that the Anane HaKavod, the clouds, would normally not accept anything trying to penetrate them. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted this letter. And Hashem said to Moshe, "Go out and meet Yisro. I am the only one who can decide when it's appropriate to accept a ger. And I am promising you, I am testifying that Yisro is totally l'shem shomayim, that he's totally, honestly accepting Yiddishkeit, and I want you to accept him." The Medrash points out, or one of the Midrashim, it would seem that Moshe somehow had been initially hesitant to go. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do it. And Chazal points out that Yisro, throughout his whole life, had been a priest to various idols, one after the other. In other words, it was a new religion a day when the previous one didn't work. And Moshe didn't know if this was just another flavor choice in picking a religion by Yisro. And would he be able to remain a Yid? Because we know once someone becomes a Yid, they can't undo it. Only the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, who can look into the heart and soul of an individual, could give Moshe the assurance that Yisro would be a Ger Tzedek forever. And because Yisro was now going to become the first Ger after or before the giving of the Torah, he said, "I want you to give all kavod to Yisro." Moshe Aaron, the 70 Zekanim, walked to the extent, to the end of the clouds of glory, and went out to meet Yisro. When the nation saw that its leadership was going that way, they too marched. The entire nation of Klal Yisroel went out to meet Yisro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Yisro, the very first Ger Tzedek, to receive the most royal of welcomes possible. And even the Shechina was palpable. It could be felt. Moshe, realizing the level of Yisro, bowed. Moshe immediately walked with Yisro to the Beis Medrash, and he reviewed with Yisro all the details of Yitzias Mitzrayim, of Kriyas Yamsuf, and the war with Amalek. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the heavenly food, the man. We have the Be'er Shel Miriam. We have this rock which turns into raging rivers that need to be covered, crossed with rowboats, and which gives the living water sustenance. We are going to Eretz Yisroel, the land promised by the Rabbona Shel Olam to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And because this was before the Chet of the Egel, Moshe could tell him that the Mashiach would be coming, that Tchias HaMesim was not far away, and that the world would be perfected. When Yisro heard this, he immediately took a sharp knife and did milah on himself. However, Chazal tell us that in some way he felt compassion for the people who had drowned in the Yam Suf. And Chazal point out that while this was obviously a human failing, a human reflection, somehow it was held against Yisro in some small manner, that he should have been able to basically suppress that feeling. But that would come. And Yisro said, I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only God. He is the only power on earth. I have looked into every religion and I have found where they have failed. And with the realization that I now have, I am going to bring korbanos, sacrifices of thanksgiving to the Rabbona Shel Olam. It says that Yisro sat down to have a meal with Aaron and the Kohanim. Moshe insisted on being the waiter. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed his tremendous appreciation of this by having a portion of man fall down right in front of Yisro during the meal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrated that Yisro was now part and parcel of Klal Yisroel. And we know that his descendants later on were great leaders in Sanhedrin, in the Jewish Supreme Courts and other courts. Yisro then watched how Moshe would spend all day answering shilas. There was no shila too big or too small for Moshe Rabbeinu to handle. And Yisro saw this, and he said to Moshe, to me it appears this is going to wear you out. No human being has the ability to handle this much of constant interaction with people into their various needs day by day. He says, I will give you an idea, and if HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees, then you can implement it. I am not so pompous as to tell you I know all. And he began to describe to Moshe the idea of a court system, of having other judges handle cases. Yisro used the comment, big and small. Gravity, the importance of the case. And he thought that the groupings of judges, whether they be those who judge 10, 100, 1,000, etc., should be based on the population, who needs it. Moshe said no. Moshe said, we don't look at halacha as to its effect on how many or how important we in human eyes see it. We look instead as how difficult is the shaila. If it's a shaila, even involving a pruta, but it's exceedingly complicated in halacha, I want it to work its way up the courts, say it starts at a court of which governs 10, go to the next level and the next. And if it's still difficult, bring it to me. And I am not telling you that I know the answers and that I am able to answer these questions freely. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps me, if I have the Fiyata Dishmaya, then I will be able to answer the question. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in fact, agreed with the proposition first made by Yisro and then amended by Moshe to be the system of the judging of the courts that would be involved in the Midbar. And this is what happened. And many of the Mefarshim point out again, we see how important Yisro was. Yisro was given the opportunity, because of his greatness, to originate the system of Sanhedrin in Klal Yisro. Okay, I am actually double parked in a spot right now, and I've got to move. So I'm going to say, have a good day, and we will pick up tomorrow. Hopefully I'll be in a stationary spot. Thanks for listening. Have a fantastic day.